At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning. Joe, before we get to the wide receiver discussion, Liam on YouTube did say, like Jared, I was out on Stallings, but I wish we could go back and keep him. We used to be relevant in basketball. Stackhouse hasn't been super impressive yet, so I'd keep Lee. It's coming from Liam on YouTube.
Yeah, it's an interesting point on Stallings. It seems like I feel like most people who were around here at the time would still say, yeah, it was about time. And obviously it went really poorly for him at Pittsburgh. I think, honestly, with basketball, one thing we've seen with both programs, not to take responsibility away from, you know, Bryce Drew, Stephanie White, Melanie Balcom before that, Stallings. I do think that the facilities issue at Vanderbilt that was allowed to just go on and on, I think it caught up with them. It has caught up with them, which is why this new basketball facility I think is going to be a big deal for that program. I think that's a big part of it. So I don't know that if you went back in time and you just kept Stallings, if it'd be like this, it'd be this great stretch in the last few years with him as the coach.
Would have been worse than Bryce Drew.
Yeah, well, right. That's the thing. Like, Bryce Drew comes in, NCAA bid first year, incredible, where he gets Darius Garland. You know, it's like all this momentum. And then, I mean, that year, I can't think of too many situations where a coach looks like one thing with trajectory because of recruiting.
Yeah.
You know, you had one bad second year, but, like, recruiting, everything's soaring. I mean, you think about Neesmith and Chitou, who, of course, was not as good as everybody thought, but Garland and all that. And then by the end of that season, he's gone.
Yeah.
Now, you don't see that too often.
All right, you snuck in enough college basketball.
I've got a lot of hoops in today.
I'm sure you have. All right, so there have been, obviously, a ton of wide receiver movement this offseason in the NFL, including locally here, with A.J. Brown moving on to the Philadelphia Eagles, Davante Adams from Green Bay to, almost at Oakland, Las Vegas. And then, of course, you know, Tyreek Hill from Kansas City to Miami as well. Lots of wide receiver movement. My question to you, Joe Rex Road, which wide receiver with their new team will have the best year? You can put A.J. Brown in that discussion, anybody you want.
I mean, I think that's my answer.
You think it's A.J. Brown?
I think so. With Tyreek Hill, I don't know. I just don't know with Tua. I mean, Tyreek Hill is ridiculous.
This?
But as you said yesterday, then you have Hill, you know, and Waddle. That is some serious kerosene right there. But I just don't know with the quarterback. Now, I don't know Jalen Hurts either. But I feel like with A.J. Brown, I think he fits. I think there's going to be a lot of, and you've seen, I've been reading the coverage of the Eagles camp, and it's a lot of middle of the field, get him the ball, which helps Jalen Hurts, helps him, suits him. I just feel like he's going to be a high volume run after the catch guy, and I feel pretty confident in the production. Tyreek Hill could have a ridiculous season, but Tyreek Hill is so dependent on the deep shot, right? Not that he can't take a pass, take a quick pass and blow past everyone in that way too, but it's so much of Mahomes making these throws and then, you know, I'm not saying other people can't make those throws, but how big of a drop-off is it going from Mahomes to Tua for him?
Well, if you ask him, Tua is like the most accurate quarterback of all time.
It's this new thing. I mean, it can't be a new thing, but it's like this thing now where you switch teams and you must say that your new teammate is the greatest thing ever and better than your like Hall of Fame former teammate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, even
you,
like
you know this well.
Well, even like Sammy Watkins the other day, he's in Green Bay now, and they asked him about like Mahomes and Rodgers. He was like, Patrick Mahomes is good, but Rodgers just takes it to a completely different level. And I'm like, okay, well, I may buy that, but like just.
Right.
Why you gotta just be like, hey man, they're both real good.
Yeah.
They're both great.
We don't have to compare everyone. Yeah.
Of course, you asked Devontae Adams, and it's going from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's right.
He's my answer, by the way. I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah.
Like, I understand he's getting a little crazy with the Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers comparison. Like, when you probably need to pump the brakes is probably not strong enough. Maybe completely slam the brakes when you're talking Derek Carr and Aaron Rodgers. But that offense as a whole, I look at, and you know, everybody talks about Renfro and Adams. Waller is really good.
Yeah.
And I think that offense has a chance to be really, really – look, Derek Carr, to his credit, he had a great year last year. He was very good. And now you bring, in my opinion, still the best wide receiver in football to his repertoire there with the weapons. I think Adams is going to have a big year.
No, I mean, I think that he'd be the odds-on favorite. And I definitely think – certainly it's a better QB situation. Certainly a better offense, too. Basically, I'm banking on – if it's Brown-Adams, I'm just banking on they need Brown more. Like, they have a lot more in with the Raiders that they can spread it around. Adams is still going to have a great year. Don't get me wrong. I just feel like the reliance on Brown will be so heavy. Now, look, the question there is, okay, if he is relied on that heavily – then is he going to hold up all year?
Yep.
I mean, we'll see. And that's the big – that to me was always the biggest concern about signing him long-term and still the biggest question about him. But if he does, I just feel like they have to – as much as I like Devontae Smith, and it's good to have someone else, you know, to take a little pressure off of you, but I just feel like they're going to get him the ball so much this year.
I feel like this is with Tyreek Hill in Miami, this is – in part, it's a weapon that comes available that you have to take advantage of, so I get that. I think the other part of this is they are really trying to search and figure out what Tua is, and now with him there and with Jalen Waddle, it's basically like, man, if you can't do it this year, then you're just probably not going to do it, and we're going to move on at this point. Like, I think quarterback-wise, and you know, Jalen Hurts has a lot to prove. I think there's a lot at stake for Jalen Hurts. I think there's even more at stake for Tua heading into this year because, to me, as much as anything, that's what that move was for. If you're Miami, yeah, you want to go to the playoffs and get you over the top and all that stuff. But it's also like we're going to figure out exactly what Tua is this year with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle down there.
Yeah, and based on reports, I mean, I think it was Cam Wolf yesterday. Like, well, there's a whole bunch of picks today. I think he said Tua threw three in one practice. So maybe that just means the Miami defense is just going to be,
well, could be
dynamite. But you don't necessarily want to hear about Tua having, like, brutal days, you know, given that they're trying to build his confidence and everything. And, yeah, I think this is it for him. Yeah, probably for both of them. Very interesting. The Alabama quarterback room of the mid-2010s, mid to late 2010s, you know, heck of a quarterback room. But, you know, both of those guys that like it's like no more excuses kind of thing. Although especially with Tua, I think.
Oh, I think so. And on the Jalen Hurts part of this, like I think that he's been good. I question how much better he can be. Like running is a big part of his game, obviously. You've got AJ Brown, and I agree. Like I don't think Jalen Hurts is ever gonna be the guy that, you know, it's chucking the ball 75 yards down the field and hitting deep bombs left and right. But A.J. Brown doesn't necessarily have to be that guy. Like, Devontae Smith is that guy. You can throw the ball deep and he can go get it. A.J. Brown, he can do that too. But after the catch, like, Devontae Smith, every time I watch him play, I'm still scared to death he's going to get sawed in half out there because of how small he is. A.J. Brown is an absolute monster after the play. So I think to a certain degree you're going to find out what you have in Jalen Hurts this year too. But, you know, they got Minshew back there too. So
that's true. You can't forget about
him. Minshew mania.
I mean, where does that rank him in, among backup QBs in the NFL?
He's got to be up there.
Like it or not, he's up there. I mean, there's a lot of teams that would take a Minshew right now as the two.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're the Titans, you'd probably take a Gardner Minshew right now.
Maybe. Then again, Logan Woodside.
Well.
Mr. Untouchable.
He is.
Can do no wrong.
I think I'd go Minshew, though.
Yeah. I would, too. And who knows? I mean, he may be, you know, Minshew's destined to be like a Fitzmagic guy in this league.
Oh, yeah.
Every few years.
In more ways than one.
He'll have a 4 or 5.
He's got the hair.
Yeah, that too, yeah. But he'll have like a 4 or 5 game, you know, outburst where he goes nuts. And you're like, gosh, this guy should be a starter. And then if you get a chance, you're like, okay, now I see why he's not a starter.
Yeah, exactly. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So I want to continue this discussion and kind of take it to a different level because we've talked about the newcomer wide receivers. I'm interested in your thoughts, Joe, on who you think is going to be the best wide receiver in the league by the time the year is over. I think I've got a pretty good idea of who I think it is entering the year. I think there's a chance that that could change as the year progresses here. And I'll tell you who I think is the leader in the clubhouse for that coming up next as well. 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my friends at Twin Peaks. And it's fantasy football season. It's right around the corner. By the way, stay tuned on maybe some news from our front on that as well coming up pretty soon. Our friends at Twin Peaks will hook you up for your fantasy football draft party, which includes a draft board, player stickers, free Wi-Fi, a $50 bonus for the commish, and a $5 bonus card for each drafter as well. And when you're not on the clock, relax with one of Twin Peaks' refreshing 29-degree beers, or you can order for the whole team with the Peaks sampler full of fan favorites and indulge in shareables like the double stack nachos, loaded fries, and multiple flavors of great boneless wings as well. Call Twin Peaks in Cool Springs to book your fantasy football draft party at 615-221-0869. That's 615-221-0869. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, The Game. I got a 4-pack of tickets to give away to the PBR Stampede Days coming up at Bridgestone Arena this Friday. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a 4-pack of tickets to the PBR Stampede Days at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Friday. You big rodeo guy, Joe Rex Road? I can see you out there.
I like rodeos. I mean, actually... up in Michigan, I actually took part in a rodeo.
Really?
I have no idea how I got roped into this.
Oh, boy.
But it was
that
like
was good.
They got some like media types.
That was bad.
Yes, thank you. Well, and I actually, like, this is a packed arena, and we were like, they were trying to rope cattle, so they were trying to teach us, and I sucked.
Well, I don't imagine.
I went out there and embarrassed myself. It was fine.
I don't imagine that that's something that, never having done it before, you can just pick up immediately. Like, yeah, let's just.
Even with a lot of help, they were trying to help us. Yeah, it was like, man, I'm really bad.
Yeah,
but
this may take a while.
Yeah, roadies are fun, man.
I've always wanted to ride the bull. I just know that it would hurt, and I'm not about that life. I don't want to get trampled to death.
Yeah. Now I'm like, my arms will get ripped out of my sockets. Have you ever done the mechanical bull in a bar?
Yeah,
me too. Boy, that was also a mistake.
So discussing NFL wide receivers, and we talked about the newcomers to their new team. So Adams going to the Raiders, A.J. Brown going to the Eagles, obviously Tyreek Hill going to the Miami Dolphins as well. My question for you is, who do you think will be the best wide receiver in football this season? I have my thoughts on who I think the best wide receiver in football is right now, heading into the season. I'd probably give it to Davante Adams, although it is very difficult to ignore what Cooper Kupp did last season and the year that he had. So certainly, if you chose Cooper Kupp, I probably couldn't argue with that. So take it however you want to take it. But I'm asking you for this year, who do you think will be the best wide receiver in football? Because there are two guys to me that are a little younger that happen to play college ball together that I think are on a trajectory to be kind of those next two guys.
Yeah, and one of them is my answer. I'm going to go ahead and just go with Ja'Marr Chase. Year two, Burrow, hopefully for the Bengals, a fortified offensive line. On paper it is. And I just think he's – for him to do what he did last year as a rookie – I just think he's destined to be the best receiver in the game for a few years. And I agree, like, I agree with you that Davante Adams is the best receiver right now. I just think the best season will be Ja'Marr Chase this year. And it's not that I don't think Davante Adams is going to have a great season. I do. I am interested just to see him with a non-Rodgers QB. I don't think we're all of a sudden be like, man, Davante Adams wasn't all that good, was he? No, not at all. He's great. He is the best receiver right now. But I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to have that title for a while.
I think it's Justin Jefferson.
Not a bad guess either.
I think Justin Jefferson is going to have a monster year. I mean, look, I say that. He had a monster year last year. He had 1,600 yards and 10 touchdowns. Like, yeah. The guys – and look, no disrespect to your boy Kirk Cousins. He's a good quarterback. But, like, I do wonder, like, if Justin Jefferson played with a staffer.
Yeah, it's not Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Like, what could he do? But, I mean, look, 108 catches last year, 1,600 yards. I think with each passing year – as Thielen continues to get older, like, he's going to get more and more of the ball of Justin Jefferson. So I think he will have the best season this year. I don't know that I would necessarily say he's the best wide receiver, although he's pretty close.
He's up there.
But I think he is an absolute monster. I think he's going to have a monstrous year this year.
I mean, it's just absurd that those two guys are on the same
team. It really is.
And I know, like, Chase, you know, like, they sort of had different timelines, but my gosh. Like, what? I guess you could look at the same thing with, like, the Alabama stretch recently, you know. But we don't know yet, you know, with any of those guys. You know, is Devontae Smith going to be great in the NFL? Is Jalen Waddle going to be great in the NFL? Jerry Jeudy, like, a lot of really good ones, incredible in college. But, like, you're talking about with Jefferson and Chase, you could be talking about two epic careers.
Yeah. So are we disrespecting Cooper Kupp, who had 145 catches and 1,900 yards and 16 touchdowns last year?
Well, he's right up there. He's right up there for me. I am a little concerned about this Stafford elbow thing. I do think that last year, obviously, Woods was a huge part of it helps to have someone else on the other side. And then Odell kind of took over that role, you know, after Woods got hurt. But Cooper Kupp he's great. I mean, he gets open. He does it at every level. So he's going to have, I'm sure, a very good year.
Well, he does it in different ways too, right? I mean, he can run pretty much every route you want him to run. And I'm not saying the other guys can't, but it's incredible to me, and it was all last year, how they continue to get him the ball even while everyone knows they're trying to get him the ball.
Yeah.
Like, that's 145 catches in a regular season is absurd. Like, it's a ridiculous amount of catches. And, like, it's one thing if it's 145 catches and he averages, like, four a catch. He's 13-4. Like, the guy was really, really good last year. And it's, you know, will teams catch on and try to limit how much he gets the ball this year? Like some of it is just his route running. He's really good, and he's going to get open. But it was incredible to me as the year went on last year of, hey, guys, I don't know if y'all know this, they're probably going to try to get the ball to Cooper Kupp, and they were just continually able to do it again and again and again.
Titans did a pretty good job.
They did.
Titans did a good job. But, yeah, no, it's and look, you have to also look at who's scheming things up too.
Yep.
I'm a little surprised we've gotten this far into this without talking about Deebo Samuel.
Yep.
Because Deebo Samuel, I think obviously the quarterback – question is part of that.
Is he going to be the running back this year too?
Well, there's that too. That's the thing.
Are they going to give the ball to Trey Sermon?
Yeah, that's. I don't. There is. What was there? Was there some kind of? They were talking contractually about him running the ball, right?
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't. Look, I don't know if anything ever came of it, but like, apparently the report was that he was upset about doing it because he thought that diminished his value.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was ever a resolution on that.
Yeah, I thought, okay, there you go. Yes, there you go. Can earn up to $1.95 million in extra funds if he continues to be utilized as a running back. Yeah, so.
That's not very much money, so
no,
they're going to run the ball.
No, it's not. But, I mean, you gotta do it every once in a while, right? That's the thing. It's like
they will.
Yeah. You know, you got to, if someone's that important, to your offense, then they should be compensated like that. But if you take everything into account, my goodness, is he's got to be considered up there too. And if Trey Lance, if they're smart, if they've made the wise choice here, and Trey Lance is about to become a quarterback who can take them to another level than Jimmy G did, then Deebo Samuel is going to have some monster numbers too.
I watched Trey Lance last week. He looked pretty good.
He made some big plays.
He did.
I mean, I'm assuming he doesn't ghost the entire coaching
staff.
The
one thing I've learned about Trey Lance is he is not afraid to throw the ball down the field. The guy throws the ball deep. And they put up some, like, it was a, I think it was a, because the NFL Network broadcast had basically the San Francisco feed on. So it was like a split screen of yards per attempt between him and Jimmy G. And albeit Trey Lance didn't throw very many passes last year, and I don't remember exactly what the difference was, but it was almost like double. Like, there was a ton of difference between Trey Lance and Jimmy G in yards per attempt.
Yeah.
Guy pushes the ball down the field.
Well, he's got a bigger arm than Jimmy G, and apparently answers his phone and texts.
Talks to his coaching staff.
Yeah. So those are all things that are positives. Now, that's going to be fascinating. If he's good this year, I think people are sleeping on that team.
Yeah. So Jamar Chase is a good answer. I thought about him. I don't know, if I had to pick a top four, my top four wide receivers in terms of the seasons that I think they will have this year, I would go Jefferson 1, Cup 2, Chase 3, Adams 4 would be the way I'd go.
Okay. Well, I've already said that A.J. Brown's going to have a bigger year than Devontae Adams. Kind of a hot take.
So you in your top four?
You
talking 1,500 from A.J. this year?
Are we forgetting someone? Are we forgetting someone? You know, obviously we've already talked about, like, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
You
put anybody you want to in the conference. Julio,
I'm going,
put him in there.
I'm going Chase. Yeah, Julio. You know, I mean, there's still Hopkins out there. Diggs is still out there. Diggs is going to have a big year.
Michael Thomas is back.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, that'd be great to see him really come back. I would go I'm going to go Chase. I think I'm with you on Jefferson, too. Chase, Jefferson, Cut, Brown, Adams.
Okay.
A.J. Brown, number four. The text line.
I feel like that's a hot take.
That's a little bit. It's a little bit toasty. I'm not gonna lie.
I mean, you could go. I mean, I'm kind of surprised with your love fest of the Buffalo Bills that Stephon Diggs is not in this conversation for you.
He's right there too. He is right there. Gosh, you know what? Maybe I'd put him four. But the thing is, now I'm like, wait a minute. You're gonna put Devontae Adams that far down?
Yeah.
Nah, we'll stick with what I've got. I think AJ Brown's usage is gonna be through the roof this year.
I'm looking at the 2022 PPR wide receiver rankings according to the ESPN. They got AJ at 13.
Okay.
Now, yeah. Fantasy football doesn't really mean all that much. But,
no. I mean, he's...
I mean, they got CeeDee Lamb at 6.
I mean, so. Realistically, where does he... Is that right?
Yeah. Now, he's probably going to get the ball a lot, so...
Is he a top 10? When he was here, he's... So, like, the Pro Football Network ranks him 9th in the NFL for whatever that's worth. I mean, that's about right. Until he has that big breakout season, which is coming.
First Titan on the list is Robert Woods at 43.
So in their rankings, they have Woods at 21.
Wow, that's quite a discrepancy.
That's a big difference, yes.
It's quite the difference. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. Look at the practice against the Bucs. Should the Titans defense be dominant today, given what we know of the Bucs availability? And if they're not, what does that mean? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:05 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds are on the road taking on Jacksonville, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 7:45. Look into that. Right now, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, what's going on? Thanks for calling in.
Robbie, what's up, dude? Hey, Joe, so I don't think you're too far off, man. If everything went perfect for AJ, I could see him having a really big year. But what is more likely, man? Is it that everything's going to go perfect in Philadelphia? Or is it more likely that he's either going to get hurt or Jalen Hurts hasn't quite picked it up yet and he's still missing passes just like last year? AJ's going to get ticked off and go on Twitter and say something crazy. The fans are going to turn on him. He'll have a nagging injury. Like, that's more likely, right? Like, so like I said, man, he had 800 and some yards for us. I'm not thinking he's going to be a game wrecker in Philly. Just everything has to work out. I don't see it working out.
Hey, thanks for calling, Adam.
I mean, at least, yeah, he may be right. I mean, at least we didn't get into the, and his terrible personality and the cancer in the locker room that, you know, some radio hosts in town like to exaggerate and you know, inflame, even though there's very little to it. But, yeah, look, the health thing is a big question. So, and you're right, like Hurts, maybe he's just going to, we're going to find out he's just not a good NFL starter and they'll have transition there. I think that what Hurts needs to do and does best fits what A.J. Brown brings to that offense. And, again, I am basing that on, you know, watching some, like, Eagles practices, okay? And I'm not saying I'm obsessively watching the Eagles practices, but our Eagles writers, like Bo Wolf and those guys, they put a lot of video out of these, like, open practices. And
well, I've seen it.
It's like, yep, there it is. It's A.J. Brown in the middle of the field, get the ball fast, and all of a sudden – 6-yard hitch turns into 14 yards or 25 yards or whatever. So health is it. If he's healthy, I'm confident that he's going to have great numbers this year if he's healthy. And if he isn't, then the decision to move on from him looks better, because that's had to be the biggest thing apart from all the contract stuff and people being mad on social media. That's the biggest thing that had to face John Robinson when he's weighing everything.
So the Titans are on the field for day one today against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in practice. They'll have another practice tomorrow before the game coming up on Saturday as well. And, Joe, we went through kind of the roster of people who won't be there for Tampa Bay earlier on the show. So Mike Evans is going to be out. Chris Godwin, I think, may do some 7-on-7 stuff. We'll wait and see on that, but he is coming off an ACL, so they're probably going to be pretty cautious with that. Russell Gage is out. There was an original report yesterday that said Julio would not be there, but he will be. So Julio Jones will be there. I think he is the de facto number one wide receiver right now for Tampa Bay with all those other guys out. And, of course, as we talked about yesterday, no Tom Brady throwing the football either. So my question to you is there really any excuse for the Titans defense not having a pretty good day today as the ones get on the field, with Blaine Gabbert as the quarterback and with Julio Jones, who you saw firsthand last year, being their de facto number one wide receiver? And if they don't, and Tampa Bay plays well against the Titans defense, how concerning would that be to you today if you're a Titans fan?
Well, it's still all in the context of a great example. These glimpses are really good, and they're better than most of training camp, but there is still the great example of the Patriots coming in here a few years ago and just dicing up the Titans defense and then barely being able to gain 4 yards in a playoff game in the same season. You know, things can change so much in the same season that in that season, the Titans were, you know, went from like the worst offense to one of the best in the NFL. But yeah, I think that the Titans defense should have success against them. And if Blaine Gabbert carves them up today, it's like, oh, what's going on with these guys? Who's out there? Molden is back. Expect him to be out there. McCreary's back. Farley's been there throughout. Little concern on the safety group with Amani Hooker coming back Sunday, but then back out, and he's missed quite a bit of time. And then Theo Jackson now has a new injury. So, but, you know, that's depth. He's depth. I don't think Hooker will be out there today. That hurts. You know, if you're talking Byard and, I guess, A.J. Moore, probably. You know, that there's a difference there. That's a little bit of a difference. I mean, you think Amani Hooker is going to be, like, all-pro this year.
I really need him to be healthy.
So, but still, yeah, they should. The defense should have two good days. If this defense is going to be what we think it could be, and it's still different, pass rush, you're not taking a quarterback to the ground, the quarterback knows this, but if this defense is going to be what it's purported to be, then you should see a lot of wins in pass rush and a lot of wins in the secondary.
Well, and I will say this, you know, the offensive line for Tampa Bay, they lost Jensen, so that's obviously a big hole that they've got to fill. But the two tackles are pretty good. Like, this is going to be a pretty good test for Dupree and for Landry, and, you know, you can throw in Weaver in there too. You know, if he gets some ones reps at some point, like, those two tackles, like, Tristan Wirfs pretty solid over there. It's a pretty good test for that front for the Titans. So I think there's some really valuable work I think they can get in on both fronts today in the line of scrimmage. But it goes back to what you just said. Like, I do think that they're as good as these practices are, when you're a quarterback out there and you know that no one's going to hit you, like, that's – it's hard to simulate game action that way.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. It's a pretty big difference.
It is. It's a big difference. Now, of course, sometimes in these situations, the guys get a little too close to the quarterback.
They do.
You know, in a just a practice with a team, no one wants to get near the quarterback because, you know, that's your guy. And these things, sometimes they get a little close, and that's where some of these little spats happen. Like,
yeah.
Apparently Mac Jones out there just punching people yesterday per a Twitter account that was fake. I was excited about it when I first read it. So Gabbert, maybe he wants to get the Titans back for letting him go. He had that, you know,
yeah.
He had the great moments here. I mean, Gabbert was, of course, the guy, was the upgrade at backup to Castle, and then, of course, Tannehill
yeah.
was the upgrade to Gabbert. Quite an upgrade. But Kyle Trask will be out there too. So
get excited.
Little Keyshawn Vaughn. We'll see, you know, how he's
doing.
Sounds
like he could be in maybe in a little danger of not making the team.
Yeah. It's just really surprising me. And Leonard Fournette's really good. So but I still and I think we've seen some glimpses of it. I still think Keyshawn Vaughn somewhere in this league can like really help a team at running back.
Yeah, I agree.
But maybe not this
maybe
one.
Maybe it's not in Tampa. We'll have to wait and see what happens on that front. So Jared declared yesterday on his program that if the defense struggles today, that he's going to come in worried and very mad at 2 o'clock today.
Oh, good. Good. Please get us to the season. Please. I mean, like, these days are good. These are good days. They tell you a little bit. There's good work involved.
These days and next week are against the Arizona Cardinals when Kyler Murray's in there with Nintendo Switch. These are going to be the best days of training camp by far.
Yeah.
But we're in the dog days, my friend.
But still, yes, please get us there. Got college football that actually counts a week from Saturday. So
yeah.
We're getting there.
So you're not going to panic today if the defense gets lit up by Blaine Gabbert?
Again, like, whatever we thought of.
I will raise my eyebrow. I will.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, all you can do is react in the moment to what's happening, but it's just like, go back to last year. I mean, who after everything that happened in camp, and I know Jared will say, that, oh, because Tannehill sucked in camp. No, he didn't. Everything that happened in camp last year, I did not hear one person say, you know, I think the Cardinals might just blow the Titans off the field in the home opener. It's the most anticipated season in many, many years. This team looks incredible. But you know what? I think the Cardinals are going to come in here and just absolutely house
just
them.
Just annihilate them.
And then, oh, I think the Titans might be terrible. Let's overreact to week one. And they go in at Seattle. I'm sorry. It's just – it's a journey, guys. Let's go on this journey together, but let's not overreact.
Just don't take me on the same journey that Aaron Rodgers went on. Just all I ask.
Well, that's the thing. He can see the future, so he knows not to overreact. Or maybe that you should overreact.
Maybe so. 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Looking forward to that. Make sure you join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell this Friday for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz on 1025. 106.3 The Game. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Gonna get to you, girl.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day. You can catch it every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road, I turn it over to you.
I don't know that this is a song I would expect a college professor to be playing, but hey. you're a young, hip professor.
Yeah,
I am, but I do love me some NCOT B. Thanks to you for bringing it up, and yeah. I started listening to them.
Professor K likes NCOT B.
Professor K.
Coach K.
Speaking of Professor K, Coach K, and then we've got Curmudgeon K, Paul Kaharsky. Let's talk about him on the Rex Rant today.
That was an interesting transition.
Thank you. As I've already told PK, because we have him next, I just decided let's have a nice prelude to Kaharsky with this is a, and honestly, I'll bitch a little bit about this, but I'm serious. I earnestly am asking this question. I want to know what the rules are. And I want to know what the rules are, so I'm going to miss a few Titans road games early in the season. And it's an interesting discussion, but he gets so mad about it. It's just incredible. So first of all, let's go to a Kaharsky tweet from last Thursday. He, like me, decided not to go to the Ravens preseason game. I think both of us are happy with that decision.
I would hope that you are.
This is his tweet. Quote, I won't pretend to be in Baltimore tonight. May comment a bit. We'll have big thoughts in a post after the game. You know, Blake Bedenfield will have a film review tomorrow. There for sure. Then he listed everybody. Buck, TD, Jim White. I actually then followed it up and said, and Ben Arthur, by the way. So if you're going to list everybody there, Ben Arthur from the Tennessean was there also. And then Buck's like, not Joe Rex with that couch tweeting fraud. Let's have some jokes. Then we had some jokes like couch, Dateline couch, all. So we start doing some jokes, right? Like couch. Good block by Petit Frere. I put, like, from the toilet, what just happened in the game, right? Ha, ha, ha.
I saw this from vacation last week.
See? There you go. So you should have just got off Twitter altogether. You know, Dateline's, of course, you put Baltimore, right? So we're making Dateline jokes. So then Kaharsky comes in with this. It's just hilarious. Such classic Kaharsky. Curmudgeon K. So cool how you endorse lying / faking. What? Shut up, Kaharsky.
I love him so much.
I know. I do too, but shut up. Okay? And he gets so upset. So this goes back to 3 years ago, I think, the London trip. No, I guess it would have been 2018. First time I'd really ever seen this. London, the Titans, Chargers in London. And so I know if I was at the Tennessean. Eric Bacharach went for us. Kaharsky and a few of the other writers are there. And he just started going off on Twitter because I don't even know who he was talking about, but people who weren't there were tweeting the game, right?
Okay.
And so he went off. He's like, if you're lying, I don't have the tweets in front of me. You know that I can't search tweets very well. But he went off about it. So a few days later, he tweeted about like some Yankees game. And I quote to him, I said, I sure hope you're at that game, Paul. If you're tweeting about that game, you better be there. Then he got all mad at me, and we went back and forth and griped. But here's the thing. I think that there's a fair point to be made. Like, if you're actually pretending to be covering something live,
right?
Like, you shouldn't do that. So I agree with that. I also have to ask, like, so if, you know, like, for example, I know, like, Titans Bills. I mean, I got my kids got a game that night. I'm going to watch it on TV. I might tweet a couple times. What are the rules? What's allowed? I want to know, is it 5 tweets in a particular game? Do you have to every single tweet say, I'm not there, but nice catch by Treylon Burks? You know, I mean, I don't think that you're really misrepresenting yourself if you comment on something that everyone's watching somehow.
Yeah, like, I agree. Like, I don't, if you're not there covering the game, then I don't really want you acting like you're there covering the game. But I guess my follow-up to that is tweeting a game that everybody's watching on TV, like, that was a nice catch by Treylon Burks. Like, does that count as, like, acting like you're covering the game?
Well, now we get into a thing that's separate from this, which is play-by-play tweeting drives me insane. What does it do for people?
That's my gripe with the people, and I've tried to do less of this. Back when I first started in this business, especially at Predators games, I was bad about that. Like, oh, Shea Weber hooking 2 minutes. Predators are going to they're going to be shorthanded.
So you're just tweeting like things that happen.
Things that happen.
Right. The point should be like I didn't like that call,
yeah.
or they missed this. Or you have eyes if you're there. You can see things that people – like to me
– But that's what drives me nuts of the people who are covering the Titans game of 2-yard run by Henry. It's third and eight. I'm like, okay, great.
Stop
Let's stop with that stuff.
Please. I've had arguments with other people in this business. My buddy Chris Lowry, who is called the most annoying reporter up there, he is an incessant play-by-play tweeter. It's like, dude, anybody who cares enough about this game does not need you to tell them it's 3rd and 7.
No, they don't.
But he's like, well, that's not true. Some people can't watch. It's, I promise you, they do not want to enjoy the game through your tweets.
No.
So analyze. Like, to me, as a beat writer, one of the highest values I always thought was someone gets hurt, game goes to commercial on TV, okay, he's up, or up on the bike, or wow, still down, right? Stuff like
right.
that. People are in the moment like, what's going on, right? So there's value in that, and that is the value of being there. So if you're there, you should take advantage of that. Use your eyes to for fans who want to follow it. But like this idea that Kaharski gets so mad if you like comment on something that you aren't at.
Well, I guess so where do you stop? Like, because to your point, like, yeah, he's not covering the Yankees, but he'll tweet about the Yankees. I'm not covering the Packers, but I'll tweet about the Packers. Like, I'm watching every Packers game. So
right.
I'll tweet about that.
And obviously what he would say, and maybe he will say, is okay, but you aren't a Packers media person.
Correct.
So that's different. And I'm not a Yankees media person, so I can tweet about my team. Fine. But I think that if you are a media person for a team, not everybody is a beat writer, right? Who goes to every game. So, I mean, I guess this sort of like Teresa Walker doesn't travel with AP. You know, AP, they have people in every city, so she covers the home games. So Teresa, can Teresa tweet about the game that she's watching? You know, I would agree that everyone should stop doing play-by-play forever
yes,
and ever and ever.
Please.
Stop it. Do analysis. Do occasional tweets. Then I think the world would be better that way. I still need to know the rules, though.
Jonathan,
maybe Kaharski will tell them.
Jonathan on Twitter says, commenting on the game is fine. Reporting on it would be different. And the example he uses is, nice catch, okay. Quote, Henry out with a lower leg injury, not okay. I will, like, if you get, like, some sort of, say the Titans are on the road, and you get, like, some sort of email from Titans PR and you're not there, that, like, the player, so-and-so's out with an injury, do you think it's okay to tweet it if you're not there?
Well, that's one of those things that if they wouldn't, so that stuff gets the first people who find out.
Are the people who are there.
Yes, typically. Now, sometimes the TV brought – actually, though, sometimes the TV scoops does, that.
Yeah.
It just depends. But I think sometimes the press box announcement of, okay, blah, 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 knee injury, questionable, rest of the game. So that's one of those things where, to me, like, if you aren't there and someone is there, that their tweet will get out before you hear about it probably. So just retweet them then.
Well, yeah.
You know?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So that's – yeah, I hear you. And, again, it should – in general – really? Like, we should all just tweet less, including
yes.
tweeting
you.
Less and complaining about things, Kaharski.
Or what? You, Joe.
Then again, what if Kaharski stopped complaining about stuff? Like,
I don't think I would enjoy that.
I'd be lost in the wilderness. So, thanks for the Rex rant, Kaharski.
I told him this. I've told him this before. Just keep being who he is. I'm sure he will.
Oh, and he will be.
He will. Just keep going.
You can count on that. But I'd like to, I'd like people to weigh in. Like, as a fan digesting... a media press corps of your team, what do you want on Twitter? And do you care if you find out later that, they weren't there and I thought they were there? Or is it just Kaharski who gets mad about that?
DJ Burnside on Twitter says, nice rant by at Joe Rexroad on third down, first down for Robbie and Rexroad. Thank you.
Yes. False start.
We've got to, if there's one thing that we can eliminate this year, the play-by-play live tweeting of football games. Gotta be done.
I just weigh in when you have something to add to the discussion.
And I will say, there are some Titans media people who do this that are very heavy.
Should we – I mean, maybe this needs to be something where we fix things by ranking the worst offenders of play-by-play tweeting.
Maybe we should.
If you're
at number one, Joe. Huh?
I don't do
I'm
it.
I'm kidding.
Now, I was pretty bad too, I would say, early on Twitter.
Yeah, I definitely was bad early.
Like, and then I was like, I'm wasting my whole game now tweeting. What am I doing? You know? Like, maybe watch stuff you're supposed to be covering.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by the man himself, Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com and Outkick 360. We'll get his thoughts on this and day one of Titans and Bucks coming up later this morning as well. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
This is Rick Burgess from The Rick Burgess Show. If you're still auto-renewing your car insurance without shopping around, you are probably throwing money away. I'm telling you, go check out Insurify. In about 2 minutes, totally free, you can compare quotes from over 100 companies all in one place. Now, here's what I love. Insurify actually monitors your rates and alerts you when prices drop, so you never miss out on a better deal. Millions of people have used it to stop overpaying, and there's no reason you shouldn't too. Do yourself a favor. See what you can save right now at Insurify.com.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.